Welcome to the City Gospel Movements Podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Rob Kelly. Rob is the leader of a city movement in Charlotte, North Carolina, called For Charlotte. So listen in to this second part of a two-part interview with Rob Kelly.
I happened to be able to attend Movement Day, and I saw the resource that you provided there in Charlotte. Can you talk to us about what that takes to exegete or really understand the community and how you and your team went about that?
I would tell people that, like, you don't want to keep the research simply at numbers, because if it's all research, it really, I like to say you need faces and facts, stories and stats are kind of the,
good.
If it's only stats and facts, then it becomes an abstraction. Mm. But if it's only stories and faces, it can just become heartstrings. And so what I would say is, how do you marry the two in such a way that you can put a face to the facts, right?
Yeah.
That you can put a story to these stats in such a way that compels the church to live out its biblical call to seek the peace of the city together.
Well, let me turn the corner for just a moment, and I wanted to ask you a couple of personal questions. I know you came out of the church world, and you were a staff pastor, missions pastor for a long time, and how has this work really grown you as a leader? What new muscles did you find out that you had, or gaps? Just how did you grow, and what did you find that this work required of you that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, that's a good question. A few thoughts jump to mind. First is, I feel like it challenged my ecclesiology, what my view of the church was. I found myself, it's almost I had to get out of a local church to be able to see the church for who she is and how big she is, and to see that it's not just about getting pastors on board, but like marketplace leaders, that we're all part of one body, and the body is diverse and connected. And so, but that was a great lesson for me. Two is that as a lifelong type A control freak, I realized that control is a myth and it doesn't exist. And here's the most beautiful part about it, is that you don't want it, even if you think you do. And that I'll exchange control for influence any day of the week and twice on Sunday. And so if you can shape values and shape conversations and try to align based on what people actually believe, that's where the good stuff happens, I think. And then finally, for me personally, and this is really personal, this isn't really just a lesson, this is something that was more of a discovery, I think, is that I spent a long time in churches, and the way I'm wired, I had a mentor once tell me that, he said, Rob, you have the blessing and the curse of being pretty decent at a lot of different things. And I was kind of a generalist. I could wear a lot of hats and I could kind of get by, but that wasn't very exciting to me. And so this last season of life, as we've been building this really kind of a unified work in the city, is that I've become a specialist as opposed to a generalist. And man, I love being a specialist. I am very content. I turned 40 in a couple months, and I hope I'm doing this work when I'm 70. I would love a 30-year run at this, because I believe it, man. I believe it. I believe that Jesus has one church in Charlotte. There's not 960 churches, and we are here for the good of the transformation of our city under the headship and banner of the person of Jesus. And that's exciting to me. I just love it. And so that's been a real exciting discovery process in this journey.
That's really good. And I think for a lot of us who are listening, we're leaders, or we hope to be leaders in a movement that would really transform our cities. And there's a personal journey that this calls us to as well, that perhaps sometimes we overlook it in trying to influence the city and make a difference out beyond ourselves. But there's really a work that God does within the leader during this kind of work, and every kind of work. But this is a great opportunity. What about some setbacks? I know not every swing at the fence is a home run. What are some setbacks that have maybe stung a little, but really helped teach you and take you to the next level?
Sure. I feel like I'm giving a lot of plugs to Eric Reese, the lean startup guy, the startup way guy. I had a friend tell me to read his stuff years ago, The Lean Startup, and he says that to really build a startup, you need to do these BML loops, build, measure, learn. And that, man, that was a great lesson, because the premise of the book is that if a startup company is going to work, the founders, the entrepreneurs will actually keep the same vision, but they will change their way of getting to that vision at least 5 times in the first 2 years if they were going to be successful. The ones that fail are the ones that develop a plan and don't change, don't adapt. And so we have been given a great blessing that the leaders that were a part of forming this gave us some freedom to fail. And we began to track them actually in these last 6-7 years. And we made a couple decisions that I thought at one point was going to be the end of us. As developing a platform, we learned that platforms don't do programs. That's a big lesson we learned. We were going to do a big citywide mission event about 3 years ago, and it would have tanked us financially, and it would have taken the entire year for us to plan, when that's not what we were called to do. Platforms really create connection that lead to co-creation. And that's kind of the key that you want to build. But we were saying, no, we're going to go and get people to do something together. Well, that's when you cease to be a network platform and you start to be a ministry, and you have to be able to understand what you are. And that lesson was an incredibly hard lesson, which ended up with quite a bit of egg on my face, specifically publicly, actually, which, you know, was not fun. But by the grace of God and the grace of a very generous church that took that project back from us and funded the overhead to take it on, and that we didn't have to, it helped us out big time. And so that's just one example of this. You know, we tried to do something, it didn't work. In fact, it didn't work spectacularly. And graciously, a large church that had infrastructure to do it took it on and did it 10 times better than we ever could have done it. And as a church with that infrastructure, that's the lane they should have been in. Yeah. And so it ended up working out, but it almost tanked us. And yeah, that was a very hard lesson to learn.
Yeah. I think that's helpful to all of us who are trying to know that, first of all, to learn from the failures of others or the setbacks of others, but also to know that those setbacks are part of the process. Mm-hmm. And tracking failure and understanding what works and doesn't work in our context seems to be really important. Everybody I talk to, the context is different, and just a plug and play doesn't really work very well. And so it takes a little bit of trial and error, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, let's kind of finish this part of the interview. And you've mentioned a few things that are just really, really helpful to everybody. But what advice would you give somebody that's just beginning to enter into this space in city transformation? They're learning, they're excited, they're eager, they sense God's favor. What are two or three words of advice that you'd offer to us?
I would say first would be, don't lose that posture of learning. Yeah, that never stops. Mm-hmm. I had a friend tell me years ago, he said, especially doing this work, that things will really never take off until someone in your city can wake up every day and learn and dream about the city. And if that's what God's calling you to, then wake up every day and learn your city. Like, and to me, it's like weird things. This might sound weird or crazy, but take a different way home regularly. Drive places in your city that you haven't been before. Take meetings at new places all the time. And so it's just, you're always out there. You're always learning your city. I don't know if there is a silver bullet to city transformation. I think it looks different in different places. And so and let me say that. I would hold how you transform a city, I would hold very loose. There is one thing that I will hold on to very tightly, though. And this is, I firmly believe this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I will not let go of this idea of a centered set value system that drives everything that we do. You know, we got about 140, 150 churches that are a part of one of our different networks. And we don't have a doctrinal statement. Some people think that that's crazy. And I don't think we will ever have a doctrinal statement. We do have three values that are inherently doctrinal, though. And those values are gospel centrality, Jesus, church unity. Again, there's not 960 churches in Charlotte. There's one church in Charlotte. There's just different expressions of it. And city transformation, that's the missiological aspect that we're here for, to be on Christ's mission for the transformation of the city and the inhabitants therein. And so we hold to Jesus, unity, and city tightly. And so what I'll do is I'll meet with these pastors regularly, and the network leaders will meet with pastors regularly. And we always ask three questions. And these questions, and I've sat with well over 300 pastors now over the last few years that I've been tracking it, and actually a lot more than that. But we'll ask these three questions, and we'll say, Daryl, do you love Jesus? And they'll say, hopefully, yes. And we'll say, do you love Charlotte? Yes. And do you believe that Jesus can transform Charlotte through the unity of his church? Yes. If you get yeses to those questions, then we can play together. At that point, I don't care if you sprinkle and I dunk, or if you're high church and you're low church, or if you like smells and bells and you like lights and sound. We can disagree on the secondary issues. But if we love Jesus, if you love Charlotte, and if you believe Jesus can transform Charlotte through the unity of his church, then we can play together. And let's have the debates about the secondary issues in eternity, and get busy to getting busy now.
Rob, that is incredible. Great word for all of us, whether we've been in this for a long, long time or we're just getting our feet wet. You've really given us some great tools and resources and insight that I think will help us move the needle, as they say, in our own community. I appreciate you joining us on the City Gospel Movements podcast today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dale. Thanks so much.